Chapter 2. Carl's Assignment. Carl Sullivan had always stood out, even in a room full of ambitious souls. Tall, with close-cropped black hair and a chiseled jaw, his bright blue eyes often shimmered with the intensity of his thoughts. He dressed smartly, never too flashy, but with an unmistakable New Yorker vibe. Sleek dark jackets, slim ties, and polished shoes that whispered of late nights in Manhattan. But behind those keen eyes was a story that stretched beyond the skyscrapers of the city. At 26, Carl's youth was underscored by an energetic stride and a passionate fervor with which he approached every story. While many of his peers depended on the flashy gimmicks of modern reporting, Carl relied on an old-school approach. A notebook, filled with scribbles and doodles, was his faithful companion. But what made Carl different wasn't just the physical notebook. It was his insatiable appetite for truth and his intrinsic ability to listen, truly listen. Carl's inquisitiveness wasn't a trait he developed overnight or even in journalism school. It was rooted in his upbringing. Born and raised in Geneseo, New York, a quaint town steeped in history and surrounded by scenic beauty, young Carl often spent his days exploring. The Genesee Valley was his playground, where he climbed trees, watched the steady flow of the Genesee River, and dreamed of bigger adventures. As he listened to the town's elders share tales of days gone by, Carl found himself drawn not just to the stories themselves, but to the spaces between the words, the unsaid mysteries. It wasn't long before his love for stories, both hearing and telling them, led him to the University of Geneseo. There, as a journalism major, Carl's talent for unearthing hidden narratives only grew. Professors noticed it, his peers envied it, and Carl nurtured it. While many were content with the surface, Carl dove deep. His articles for the university's newspaper often showcased this depth, making readers pause and reflect. A piece on the historic architecture of the university wasn't just about bricks and mortar. It was a narrative about dreams, aspirations, and the passage of time. But Geneseo, with all its charm, was a mere prologue for Carl. His aspirations extended beyond its boundaries. The allure of New York City, with its ceaseless heartbeat, drew him in. After graduation, with a mixture of trepidation and excitement, Carl moved to the city that never sleeps. He was determined to carve a niche for himself in the ever-competitive world of journalism. Being an investigative reporter for the New York Times wasn't just a job for Carl. It was a vocation. From uncovering political scandals to highlighting human interest stories that tugged at the heartstrings, he brought a unique perspective, an earnestness that resonated with his readers. He saw the city not just as a sprawling metropolis, but as a living, breathing entity with countless stories pulsating within. Yet, beneath the composed demeanor and the accolades was a young man still connected to his roots in Geneseo. He held on to the values of community, trust, and integrity. Carl Sullivan was not just a reporter. He was a storyteller, one who sought to understand the world, one story at a time. Inside the dimly lit, somewhat cluttered office of the New York Times, Frank Stiglitz sat behind his large mahogany desk, shuffling through papers. His office was a reflection of his decades of journalism, walls adorned with awards, framed headlines, and a large window overlooking the bustling streets of Manhattan. His phone buzzed, signaling an incoming message. Glancing at it, he frowned, then took a moment to compose himself before pressing the intercom button. "Sullivan, in my office now." Within a minute, Carl Sullivan appeared at the doorway, notebook in hand. "Yeah, Frank, what's up?" "Close the door." The weight in Frank's voice was steady. Carl did as instructed and took a seat across from Frank, observing the editor's serious demeanor. "What's going on?" Frank leaned back in his chair, taking a deep breath. "Remember Bill Gantz?" Carl nodded. "Desert Storm vet. There was a piece on him a couple of years back, right?" Frank's fingers drummed on the desk. "That's the one. Lives up in Speculator, New York. Just got word that his son Stephen had a paddling accident. Died in the Sacandaga River." Carl's eyebrows knitted in sympathy. "That's terrible." "It is," Frank sighed, pausing to let the gravity of the news sink in. But that's not the whole story. There are rumors, Carl. Rumors that Bill, ever since coming back from the Gulf, had been dealing with some terrible nightmares. Battlefields, deaths, the kind of stuff that sticks with you. Carl, looking at the wall behind Frank littered with awards, plaques, and photos of his part in Desert Storm, leaned forward with respect. Go on. Locals whisper that after the news about Stephen, something in Bill just snapped. But here's where it gets better. Some say he sought out that infamous spot up towards Beaver Creek, the Triangle, searching for relief from his torturous dreams. Carl's pulse quickened. The Triangle? The very name had been the stuff of whispers among the locals in upstate New York for generations, an elusive and mystical point amidst the Adirondacks. Come on, Frank! Are you suggesting he went to the Triangle for peace? And that he found it? Frank's eyes met Carl's, conveying an intensity the young journalist had come to respect. I don't know, Carl, but that's what the rumors say. Apparently, since that terrible day on the river, Bill seems different, at peace, as you say. Carl mulled this over. And you want me to drive 4 hours to Speculator and look into this? You know I'm working on that story about that fella that came missing in his cafe in Manhattan, and that some woman and her grandmother are running it, right? Rumors are that he was a time traveler, he said with a tinge of conspiracy in his voice. Frank nodded. Exactly what I want you to do. Look, Carl, there's a story here. Not just about a father's grief, but something deeper, more mysterious. If these rumors hold even a shred of truth, then we need to uncover it. Frank, Carl said hesitantly, you know as well as I do that these local legends, especially in these remote parts, they're dime a dozen. What makes this one any different? Frank leaned forward, his gaze unwavering. You've got an innate ability, Sullivan, an uncanny knack to cut through the noise to get to the heart of the matter. I've seen your work. It's not just about chasing headlines with you. You chase the truth. I want you on this. Talk to the locals, dig deep, find out about the Triangle, about Bill's state of mind, get the real story. You can get back to the cafe when you get back. It's not going anywhere. Carl took a deep breath. It was a lot to process. Why the urgency on this one, Frank? Is there something you're not telling me? Frank hesitated for a moment, seemingly choosing his words carefully. I knew Bill, not just from the piece we did on him. We go way back. War veterans have a bond, Sullivan, one that's hard to put into words, and I don't expect you to understand it. But if there's even a chance that this Triangle helped him find peace, the world needs to know about it. The room was filled with a heavy silence as Carl considered the gravity of the assignment. After what felt like an eternity, he nodded slowly. All right, I'll do it. I'll head up there and get to the bottom of this. Frank smiled faintly, relief evident in his eyes. That's what I wanted to hear. And Carl? Yes? Be careful. The Adirondacks are as beautiful as they are treacherous. And legends? Well, they often have a kernel of truth in them. Carl nodded, his resolve strengthened. I'll keep that in mind. Thanks, Frank. As he left the office, Carl felt the weight of the assignment bearing down on him. But more than that, he felt the allure of a mystery that needed unraveling. The Triangle, Bill Gantz, and a tale of sorrow and peace awaited him in the quiet town of Speculator,